If you have your Bibles tonight, would you open up to Psalm 46 and just share with you a couple things from God's Word here tonight. Try to be a help and a blessing. Psalm 46, I think we have 11 verses here in this chapter, and we'll just take here in just a moment we begin reading. We'll read down through all 11, get that part done, and we'll share with you what we feel the Lord would have us to look at tonight. If you found your place there in Psalm 46, verse 1, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, the Bible says here in Psalm 46, verse 1, it said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. You know, aren't you glad there's help tonight? You know, there's help tonight. There is help for the child of God tonight. If you want help, there's help. But see, that's the thing. If you want help, there's help tonight. God has help, and I'm glad that he does. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Ask him to help us tonight. Have ears that we can hear with and have hearts that we can be open and receptive to his word. Ask him to help us leave this place different than we come in tonight. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in church tonight. We thank you for this dear church, the great history of this dear church, Lord. We thank you for all these precious folks that have been able to come out tonight to your house. We pray for those that aren't here for one reason or another. Some of them may be traveling for the holidays. We pray that you would grant them traveling mercies. Lord, some may be not feeling well. We pray that you would touch them in a special way as well. We pray that you would be with Pastor Vinoy and his dear wife and just bless them. And Lord, just give them some rest tomorrow on this here Labor Day, Lord. And we thank you for what's been happening in this place, Lord. And we pray that you would continue to keep your hand upon this place, continue to bless in a special way. Lord, may the sun never set on what's taking place here in this place. May this be a place, Lord, to where folks feel comfortable to come and hear from heaven, Lord. Now, God, tonight, would you just have your will and your way in this service? Lord, if there be one here that's not saved, would you show them their need to be saved before it's too late? Lord, there may be one here tonight that's discouraged along this journey of life. May you encourage them from your word. Strengthen your children. Lord, we'll be careful and sure to thank you for all you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You know, when I think about this, I've been going through this portion of Scripture with some of my other reading that I do in the mornings, and I've just been coming back to this for quite a few days now. You know, I think about this. We all are going to have our day of trouble. You know, trouble doesn't, you know, always warn us and knock on our door and let us know that it's coming. Trouble just don't go for a certain person. Trouble has no respect of people. So we're all going to have our day of trouble. You know, over in John 14, the Lord told even the 12 that walked with him, and 11 of them being true, that had walked for him with 3.5 years, they didn't understand what was getting ready to happen. And they were troubled. They were troubled about much of it, pretty much all of it, because he was leaving. But boy, he said some comforting words to them in John 14:1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then he said this. He said, "You believe in God." He knew they believed in God. He said, "Hey, you believe in God." He said, "Hey, believe also in me." Well, you know what a conquer trouble? Belief. Yeah, faith. Just practicing faith. And here he said, he starts this out. He says again, I want you to look at verses 1 through 5 first again. He says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." But then he says this, the psalmist says, he makes this statement. He says, "Therefore, because of that," because he is our refuge, he's that hiding place, he's that safe haven for us, he's that place to run to in the midst of the storms. Now look, if you're not in a storm tonight, just pray for those that are. But understand this, we're either in a storm as children of God, we're either in a storm, we're either coming out of a storm, or we're getting ready to go in a storm. But there's storms come in our life, and God sends the storms to he's conforming us to the image of his dear son. He sends the storm so that he can make us stronger, he can make us more like him, and he can work in our lives. And he says, because of this, the psalmist says, "Will not we fear?" You know, we haven't been given the spirit of fear, Timothy said. You know, we haven't been given that. You know, we've been given a sound mind. We've been given peace. And the other one there, he said, we haven't been given fear. But you know, sometimes storms bring out the fear in us, don't they? Now look what he said here, though, in these first 5 verses. He says in verse 2, he says, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled." He said, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now he's given us 4 things there. He said, hey, the earth, your earth may melt, child of God. Or your earth may be removed, child of God. Your mountains may feel like they're being carried into the midst of the sea. He said, hey, look, the waters in your life may be roaring and be troubled. And he said the mountains may seem like they're shaken with the swelling thereof. Hey, sometimes life gets pretty crazy. Just say amen. You know, sometimes storms knock on our door. Sometimes storms drop themselves in our lap. And sometimes we don't know what to do or where to turn. But look what he said in verse 4. He said, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High." Look at verse 5. He said, hey, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall wipe her, shall help her, and that right early. Hey, you know what, number one tonight? Hey, there's help. And you know why there is? Because God is our sufficiency tonight. You know, sad but true, sometimes, you know, storms should draw us to God as his children. But sometimes we are more apt to run away when the storms come. You know, but he said, hey, God is, he is our sufficiency in these storms. He's our help tonight. Right. Hey, there's a storm coming up the East Coast. That's right. Yeah. Boy, there's a storm coming. And boy, would to God that he would just push it out. Amen. And already it's turned some. And would to God that he'd just go ahead in the days to come just to send it on out. And it just wind up just leaving some rain and some wind, and that would be the extent of it. And he's able to do that. But he does send some storms to get our attention in life. But see, he's our sufficiency. Think about this. Hey, when all you have is God, you'll realize he's all you need. Hey, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I love this guy right here. I love him. I've been in him 52 years. I love him. But boy, I'm glad, I've known God for 22 years. And boy, I love him. You know, last October the 24th, I consider myself a busy guy for the Lord. I was always busy for myself, and so I try to be busy for the Lord. Amen? Don't want to shortchange him any. He's been so good to me. And my wife tells me I'm always just running, always just running. I was coming out of the print shop on a Tuesday last October the 24th. I was coming out of the print shop, and I was due to go home and change real quick into my Superman suit and head to the courthouse to teach class. Well, I walked out of the print shop at about 3 like I normally do. I came around the side of the metal building. My vehicle was right there, and right when I walked around the side of the building, something right here just moved. As best I can say it, it moved. It moved enough it got my attention. Now, there was no pain. There was nothing like that, but something just moved right there. And I knew right then something was different right then. And immediately, I felt tingling right here in these elbows, right here in these creases of these elbows. I had restriction right here coming on like a slow headache. And I had tightness right here. Now, I didn't have no pain. But I tell you what, it got my attention. And I said, well, I better not drive. So I went back inside. I said, you know what? I told myself, I said, now I didn't answer myself. They say as long as you just talk to yourself, you're okay. So I didn't answer myself. But I told myself, I said, I'm going to go back inside, and I'm going to go find somebody and talk to them and just see if this is just something that's going to go away. So I did that. I went in there and talked to somebody and just started a conversation with somebody, told them what was going on, but it didn't go away. And I realized the more I think about it, I think it was going to get worse. So I called Miss Powell and told her, and she was going to come get me. I said, okay, we'll do that. But before she could come and get me, it seemed like it was just, it just wasn't going away, and it was just going to maybe get worse. So I was a little concerned about it. So I asked one of the men to take me to the hospital there in Cleveland, to Tenova, to the emergency room. And I called Miss Powell and just told her to meet me there. Well, when I got there, it still wasn't going anywhere. And, of course, you have to go through a lot to get into triage. But I finally got in there and got seen and told them what happened. They did a EKG. It showed okay. And so they gave me a nitroglycerin, and everything went away. Of course, that's a warning. Well, they kept me overnight, and the next day they decided just to take me back and do a heart cath. And they found 3 blockages right here. Two were 99 and one was 100, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. That's all 3 close, but they're right there. So they while they were in there, they just put 3 stents in and it was over with. But you know, boy, when you're laying back there in that on that table in that surgery room and there's 2 men sitting down here and they got this arm strapped down and taped down and down as much as it can, it's not going anywhere, and 2 men are right here, and they're going through here, and they're working, and you're not asleep because they say they may need you to move. They may need you to speak, either one. So you're awake there. They got a big TV here. You can watch it, or you can try not to watch it. But I was back there, I think 3 hours or 4 hours. It's a while. And 2 men are working on your heart. But you know what? I was talking to the Lord, and he reminded me that, that's the first time I had had my physical heart worked on. But he's reminded me that 22 years ago, he's reminded me that 22 years ago at 218 Langley Lane, behind door number 80, that I had met Jesus, and that he had worked on my spiritual heart that night. But you know what? Man, I needed help that day, October 24th, because... I was a heart attack waiting to happen. But you know what? I'm glad that there was help. Hey, he's our sufficiency today. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care. You may be thinking, man, this may be it. This may be the thing that's going to end us. This may be the thing that's going to take us down. But hey, God has help. Hey, Bible Way Baptist Church, God's got help today. If you need it. If you want it. You know, there's three ways to look at it when it comes to help. There's people that realize they need help. But that don't guarantee they're going to get it. That just points to the fact they realize they need it. But then there's another group of people that, well, they want help. They realize they need it and they want it. But even though they want it, they may not still take it. But then there's those people that they realize they need it, they realize they want it, and they receive it, they get it. And hey, God, he said here that God is a help. Number one, he's our sufficiency, but not only that tonight, he is our security. Look at verses 6 through 9, what he says. Now think about this. Now look what the psalmist says this time. He said, hey, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. That's how God responds. Hey, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, but he uttered his voice and the earth melted. Hey, God has a way of getting our attention. He said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. He said, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Hey, there's nothing that's taken God by surprise. Hey, has it occurred to you and me that there's nothing occurred to God? He knows everything. Hey, you and I have to learn things. God don't have to learn one thing. He knows everything tonight. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. The angel of the Lord told Abraham, hey, I don't know what you're going through, but it's not something that God can't handle. You know, over in Psalm, he said, once has it been spoken, once has been spoken, twice have I heard that power belongeth unto God. Boy, God's got the power. He has got the power today to work in our life. He's got the power to protect us. He's got the power to provide for us. He's got the power. We just have to be willing to let him have his way. Hey, it's sometimes raising the white flag of surrender is not the easiest thing to do. But would to God that we just surrender to him lock, stock, and barrel tonight with our lives. Let him just have control. Let him have his way. Hey, he has got our best interest in mind. He wants to provide for us. He wants to protect us. But also look tonight. He's not just our sufficiency. He's not just our security. But look at verses 10 and 11. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. You know, he said, be still and know. You know, we don't like to be still much. We're busy people. Or so we think. We live in a fast food era. We live in a microwave age. A rat race. We don't like to slow down too much. But you know, God has a way of slowing us down. And he does it because he wants to help us. He does it because he wants to help us. He loves us and wants to help us. He said, hey, be still and know that I am God. He said, I will be. Hey, look, God's out there scratching his head wondering how all this is going to turn out in this great country we live in, this country that was founded on godly principles and godliness. He's not up there scratching his head, wondering how it's going out. God's carrying out His plan. God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. God is still using His people to carry out the Great Commission, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. He's still carrying all this out. Why? Because He's the Supreme One. He's not the man upstairs. You know, he's not him. He is God Almighty.
Amen.
He told Moses when he went down to rescue the children of Israel, Moses said, "Who shall I tell him sent me?" He said, "You tell him that I am have sent you." God Almighty. Hey, He's God today. He's on the throne. He's in control of things.
Amen.
You know what? He wants to be mine and your God. Not just Sunday morning, not just Sunday night, not just Wednesday night, but 24/7. He wants to be the God of our lives. You know, the Bible said that greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. And He said, "Nay, in all these things are we more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Boy, we serve a great God. The psalmist said He's God and God alone. The psalmist said beside Him there are no gods. Moses had said in the prayer in Psalm 90, he said, "Thou hast been our God in all generations." You know, he said before the mountains were set forth, before the earth and the world were formed, he said, "Thou art God from everlasting to everlasting." Somebody asked me the other day, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said, "How long has God been?" I said, "Well, the Bible said He's been from everlasting to everlasting."
Yeah.
You know, our minds, our finite minds, they can't comprehend that. But that's okay, because God just said we just have to believe it. That's the faith. Now, here in just a moment, we're going to leave this place. And we're going to go out here and we're going to jump in our cars. We're going to put the key in. And we're going to expect that car to crank up and just purr. We're not going to want to hear it go, uh-uh. Now, I said that in a church the other night. I heard one little lady said, "I hope my car cranks, Mr. Powell." I said, "I do too, because I don't have a pair of jumper cables." But you know, we are going to, hey, we practice faith every day. Do you believe there's help, church? There's help. And do you believe it enough to want to get it? Man, I'm nothing. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just crazy enough to believe God.
Amen.
Hey, look, we did full-time deputation almost 20 years ago. And now our two grandbabies back here with us. Maylee is 12 and a half, going on 20, and Caleb's 10, and he's almost going on 22 as well. But we don't have the funds to feed them and to clothe them. Our kids, it was with them. They were with us on the road, 15 years ago or so. And so we're out raising some more support. Well, these two here didn't sign up to travel and be missionaries' children, but they are. And so look, it's work. And God knows we need help. We need Him to help us. We need Him to help us more than just the funds. Me and Miss Powell need Him to help us with that. We're 30 years older now with our two grandbabies trying to travel the roads. We need Him to help us with, you know, we would like to just be regular grandparents much of the time, just being honest with you. But, sometimes it don't work that way, folks. Sometimes it don't work the way that, you know, we can't tell God. Well, we can tell God what kind of help we want and hope that He would do it our way. But sometimes He don't do it that way. But you know what? Even with all that said, we left Cleveland at Saturday. Of course, it's no big trip, but We traveled for much of the day. We stopped at a couple places with them, a couple flea markets or things, just try to throw some fun in it with them as well to come. And me and Caleb played a game of basketball earlier, and he didn't try, he beat me, and so I'm learning. but aren't you glad that there's help tonight? Even when it don't have to be a big old thing. God is helping the small things and the big things in life. We have help tonight. Let us stand to our feet as they come to get a song of invitation.